welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Now, what's the word that God's been speaking to us about?
Awaken.
He's not changing that, you know.
Amen.
He's still talking to us about waking us up, rousing ourselves, strengthening ourselves in God. This is the days of the church waking up. Yeah. Rouse yourselves, wake up, strengthen, invigorate, hallelujah. Meet with the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Because of what the Lord is going to do amongst us.
Yes.
This is the exciting thing. We've got the great big event coming up in April. We're all excited about that.
Hallelujah.
But that's just nothing compared to everything that God has for us and that God wants to do.
Amen.
It doesn't even come close to where God wants to take us and what God wants to do with us.
That's good.
Hallelujah. He's got bigger plans for us than we've got for ourselves.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's got bigger plans for Kingdom Faith than we could even dream of.
That's right.
And one of the things that's happened in the past couple of weeks that I think you're probably going to get a little bit excited about is that we think we may have found, now I'm pretty 99.9% sure, in fact we're working out how to get in there, we have a building. I think you should be on your feet cheering. Woo! Come on, thank God. Oh, hallelujah. Wow, praise God. This is something we've been seeking God for 4.5 years. So it's pretty exciting. We've still got to jump through all the hoops, you know, of all the necessary things. And it's still impossible, by the way. You know, there's still all the impossible things to sort through. But the light is just green, it feels. And you're going to love it. I'm not going to tell you where it is just yet. Not because I'm a big tease. But because if it gets in the Scarborough Evening News, we want to negotiate our way through before it explodes on the town.
Yeah.
And so I'm sorry I can't tell you where it is, but I will let you know as soon as we possibly can, but you're going to like it.
Yeah.
All right, it's right in the center of town, and you're all going to go looking now, aren't you? What I would request of you is that you keep it under your hat for now, other than those that are within Kingdom Faith, you know, so that it doesn't just become a rumor at this point. It's very dangerous to share something with this many people, but I wanted you to know so you could be praying about it. But don't go telling people just yet, because we need to negotiate with owners and councils and everybody else and get everything in place. And we don't want a rumor getting out of control that says, you know, we're some wacky American cult that's right wing and all that kind of stuff that went about when we moved into this place and nearly got us kicked out of here. So we don't want to do that at this point. But I've met with the owner due to a chance encounter a couple of years ago. When I found out who owned all the buildings in the area, I actually had his mobile phone number. Wasn't that helpful? So I was able to give the guy a ring, which is a huge breakthrough when we've had to deal with owners before. We even met for a cup of coffee, got on really well, and God just began to open things up. Okay, it's about the size in square footage of the old Comet building, and so we're very excited. It's by far the best conditioned building we've ever looked at. It's all to the latest building regs. It's got nice stuff in there. Even the toilets are good. The toilets are better than the SJTs. Sorry, SJT, but they are. You know, and these are important things. Hallelujah. But the whole place is going to look absolutely fantastic. Hallelujah. We can't afford it. Praise God. It wouldn't be God if we could. If you ever God leads you on an adventure with him and you've got everything you need to do it, it's probably not God. Because at the end of it, you'll say we did it. We had the money. We had the resources. It was us. And God will never let you do that because he's always taking you closer to him. He's always taking you into a greater place of intimacy with him. And that needs a dependency.
Hallelujah.
So I asked the Lord for, you know, some scriptures about where we are at the moment and what God was doing. And he gave me 5. And it links in with what I was saying the other week from Zechariah. Maybe I'll come back to that. And from David. But you remember the word about the trumpet shall blow and you shall use the sling stones. if you were here. If you weren't here, I'll mention it a bit later. But he gave me five scriptures and said to me, these are five smooth stones. And any one of them is big enough to slay any giant. Hallelujah. So if you've got your notebooks with you this week, or your mobile phone, or your iPad, or your Androidy rubbish, then... or your Windows laptop, but we can't hang on half an hour while it boots up, sorry. But if you've got something to make notes on, apologies to all. If you've got something to make notes on, you might want to grab these verses down, because they're five smooth stones with which you can slay giants. And that's going to be important as we move ahead, because there will be giants to slay. There will be giants that need to fall dead at our feet. But we're going to be moving in. And I think, you remember that the Lord gave us acceleration some time ago? You know, and we just thought, well, it doesn't seem to be working with this building. We know we've been praying 4.5 years. I mean, Abraham, of course, waited 25, and the Lord thought that was quick. But suddenly, the Lord's moving. You know, we're only talking, we've only known about this place for a couple of weeks, and so many things are already in place. And so many people are in favor of it. Hallelujah. There's a few people that know. One of them is Inspector Tony Quinn, the chief inspector. No, he's not a chief inspector. He was an acting chief inspector, but he's back to inspector again now. But I did mention it to him, and he just said, that would be brilliant. That's just where you need to be. It'll be a fantastic base for us all. It'll be a fantastic base for street and youth angels. It'd be a fantastic base in town for students and young people. Be a great place to have church. It's going to be a really nice place to hang out. Yeah. You know? Now you just want to see more, don't you? And I can't give you more, but I can give you five smooth stones. So are you ready? Right, these were the five words. And the Lord just really said to me, you need to keep praying these over yourselves and over your church as you move forward. So as much as I preached this morning for Kingdom Faith, we're also speaking into our own lives. Because the Lord doesn't just want a building. He wants a people to move forward. You know, the building is merely a tool. It's a very nice tool. But it's only a tool. This is what's important. All right, so here we go. The first one was in Leviticus. That's not usually one you get excited about, is it really? I will look with favor upon you. Leviticus 26 verse 9. I will look with favor upon you and cause you to be fruitful. Your numbers will increase and I will keep the covenant I've made with you. Can I let you know, I did not know what I was turning to. In all five of these, the Lord gave them to me and I turned to them.
Wow.
All right. And I had a look and I said, oh, right. That's a good stone, God. This is a pretty good stone when you're thinking about moving forward. This is a pretty good stone when you're thinking about church growing. Should we go for it again? I will look with favor upon you and I will cause you to be fruitful. Your numbers will increase and I will keep the covenant I have made with you. Your translation might not match because it's from the truth. The few bits of Old Testament. What the Lord did, he said, turn to page whatever it was and look at the third scripture on the page. That was very weird and very scary because I could have got something rather odd. But I didn't. Hallelujah, because the Lord is speaking. You pick up that stone.
Yes.
And if you're going through stuff, you say, no, the Lord will look with favor upon me. You're looking for a house? You're going to get an amazing house. This is Nigel and Suzanne up there. Come on, stand up. They've come to join us all the way from Crawley. Don't worry, we don't embarrass all our visitors like that, but you're special. And you have moved 300 miles to join us, so we're very excited. They've come all the way up from Crawley, knowing that God has called them to come and join us as they seek the Lord for their future and seek the Lord as to what he's going to do with them next. So get to know them in the coffee time afterwards. While we're talking to people that are here with us this morning, we've also been very blessed. I don't know, some of you may have known, but yesterday and the day before, the worship team were going through an intensive training. Oh yes, it was boot camp worship team. They were going under the nets and up over the walls and through the mud and the grime. And at the front was the Sergeant Major and his wife. Pushing them on, cheering them on as he took them through new things and greater things. Because, if we're going for something like this and beyond, and we now need a new worship team for the new building, because they're just going to be on fire in there. Okay. And so there was a bit of an intensive training weekend for them. So we've got here Pete and Sally Norman with us this weekend. Woo! So that's been exciting. Pete's coming back for this. He's going to be helping the band during this. We're not letting him take over. We've got better leaders than him, but he's going to be an equipper and an enabler for us. If you don't know who Pete is, he leads worship at Faith Camp, so in front of 5,000 or 6,000 people, so, and he's a very anointed man. He also happens to be one of my best friends, so it's very nice having them up. Sally is also one of my best friends. We worked together on J24/7 for many years, and she's still leading them into Adventures New. And of course, it's Sally that's going to be leading the team for all the children's work at this conference as well. So, hallelujah. Can I ask you, while I think of that as well, can you get the word out? Because I was talking to somebody the other day, and I don't know how they've missed it, because it's in everything, but they hadn't appreciated that the children's conference is full-time and runs all at the same time, and it's for children, and it's an event. It's not a babysitting service. It is an event for them. So talk to people, spread it, get it around the churches, you know, Twitter and tweet on Twitter and face on Facebook and plus on Google and wherever else you wander on the internet. Well, no, don't wander there. Tell them about what's happening, but also tell them about what's happening with the children. I think we need to get a little bit more of that word out there. Right, I've only given you one stone. I'm not going to preach much on these stones. I'm just giving them to you to take away and use. But that's great, isn't it? I will look with favour upon you. Expect favour in everything you do. Haven't we seen it so far? You know how God calls people for such a time as this from the book of Esther? This man came along as a project engineer at exactly the right moment. You know, he's able to do all the things like the fire regulations, the building regulations, assessing the structure of the building. You know, he knows it.
Thank you, Lord.
He was involved on projects like the London's Docklands Railway. Well, he led your team, didn't you? And so he's got a lot of experience. Not that we want a railway in the building. You haven't planned for that, have you? And it's just how God sends people with the right skills. You know, Brian with his skills as an engineer, he's here. And it's just amazing. It feels like everybody's in place this time. Yeah. Whereas before it was like, well, I hope this is right, God, because I don't really understand building regulations. Yeah. And it's very interesting that Comet is, the building behind, is being taken over at the moment by Pound Stretcher. So it's almost like, oh, that's interesting. Hallelujah. And I look back at what God has taught us and put in place and the people we've encountered and made relationship with through looking at these other places. And it seems like, oh, yeah, right. Because the agent we're dealing with is an agent we did with the William Street car park building. So he knew us. It was like immediate trust. It was great. God put everybody in place. And there's such favor. We know the right people to talk to. We've got others in our team that can talk to people quite easily at the council in important places and just say, you know, what's going to happen with this? It's just like, thank you, Jesus. This is favor. We have incredible favor. But it's not just for us corporately, though it is for us corporately, and keep praying it. The thing with favor is you have to constantly and continually keep hold of it. Or take hold of it, probably is a better expression. Oh, I've got favour, that's all right. No, you say, thank you, Lord, that I have favour. This interview is going to go well.
Yeah.
All right? Or thank you, Lord, that I have favour. This benefit application is going to go brilliantly. Thank you, Lord, that I have favour. This assessment on my health is going to go awesomely.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, I have favour.
Yes.
You know, and it means favour with people.
Yeah.
People that don't know the Lord and people who do know the Lord. They will have favour.
Amen, amen.
Amen. When we came to the SJT here, there was a couple of people on the staff who gave us tremendous favour. You know, it was awesome. They were very kind to us and helped us to get in and helped us to negotiate a great deal to have the place.
That's good.
You know?
Amen.
Great favour.
Right.
I'm liking the favour bit. But then it says, I will cause you to be fruitful. We are going to be entering a real time of growth, church.
Yes.
Are you ready? What does that mean for you? If this church is growing, what are you going to do? Because you're one of the experienced ones. You're one of the ones that knows the Lord. You might say, well, I've only known the Lord 4 weeks. That's 4 weeks and a lot more than a lot of the people that are coming. You could disciple them in 4 weeks worth of training. You don't have to be a Christian for 5 years before you can mentor somebody. You have to be a Christian for 5 minutes longer than they've been. That's it. Really, if you're someone who prays, you've got it. If you're someone that reads the word, you're ready. Whether you think you understand it all or not, that's irrelevant. If you read the word, the Holy Spirit will teach you and enable you, and you will go to places you didn't expect, because you've got a smooth stone that slows giants. You've got favor, and you're going to be fruitful. So if there's people coming, you lot, you're the mentors. Have you ever wanted to lead somebody to the Lord? You know, I tell you, it's very precious. I don't know how many of you have done it. I've done it. And you just think, oh, thank you, Jesus. Afterwards, you're on a bit of a high. You know, but who's responsible for that person afterwards when they come into your church?
That's right.
You are.
That's right.
It's not just, oh, I've got a baby now. Bye, I'm off.
That's right.
We've got enough absent fathers and mothers in this world.
Come on.
You know, we're responsible.
That's right.
We are responsible. And there's going to be people.
Yeah.
If you're ready, if you want to lead people to the Lord, you're going to experience that. If you want to disciple people, you're going to experience that. And as we were called by Jesus to go and make disciples, it's the fundamental call for everyone. It's not an optional extra. You know, some have got this gifted, some have got this gifted. It says, go and make disciples of all nations, of all people groups. And teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And you've already got a load of teaching. So you're ready. And if you've forgotten some of it, you can go on the internet and re-download the stuff we've had here and teach them that. Even better, teach them straight from the Word. That's good. Your numbers will increase. Come on. And I will keep the covenant I have made with you. God's not going to let us down. Are you excited? I wasn't supposed to be preaching on the stones. This is going to be dangerous. We are going to run out of time. That's all right. It'll be one of those weeks where I've got a word and it lasts six. It's nice, actually. Anyway. And I will keep the covenant. I will keep the promise. I will not let you down.
Oh, that's great.
Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. It's not. It doesn't.
Woo.
Okay, the second stone, because I will attempt to get through these rather than 1 week on each verse. You ready?
Yes.
1 Peter chapter 1 verse 24. Actually, it's just the second bit of the verse, and it's just a very small bit. It just says, the Lord's word endures forever, and it was the eternal word that was preached to you. You sort of think, well, why are you going on that one? I'm saying that what God has said to you through his word is eternal. He's not about to give up. He's not about to say, oh, it's too hard. You know, Scarborough hasn't completely turned round in 5 years. I'm giving up. I'm going to Halifax. God loves Scarborough.
Amen.
God loves Whitby, Filey, York, Driffield, Bridlington, Flixton, Thwing, Foxholes, and all the others. He said, probably forgetting your favourite village. But I'm sorry, he loves that too. He does, and his word is eternal. The word he has spoken to us. This is so important, because when you come up against stuff that seems to go against what God has already promised you, you can get very disheartened. Yes? So you pick this stone up and you throw it. No, his word is eternal. The giant goes. You got five of these, and you know what? You can pick them up and use them again. And again and again and again and again. So you've got enough here to defeat 25,000 giants. Nothing can stand against you, because the Lord is for you.
Amen.
Amen. If he is with us, who can stand against us? The answer is nobody and nothing. Because we are on the move for the glory of Jesus Christ to see people saved, restored and healed.
Amen.
Amen. It's not a day for a church to hide away in a corner. This is the day for the church to come out. All right, it's not even, we've given up, praise God, talking about making an impact. It was good in the 90s. That's where we were. Let's make an impact.
Amen.
That's the song you wrote for Power Pack, was it? Oops, sorry, forgot you were here. It's the children's song that stuck forever. How many know the Power Pack, the original Power Pack?
Yeah.
Gonna be a Power Pack, gonna make an impact. Okay, but it was right for then. But impact speaks of running into a situation, exploding Jesus over everybody, and running back for cover. And then God took us into influence.
Come on, that's good. That's
Okay, that's probably where we are at the moment as a church. We're having an influence. We're able to share Jesus, talk about Jesus, and influence what's happening in our region. We need to be churches that influence what's happening in nations as well. Amen. But God wants us to go even beyond influence. That's now what we're moving into is transformation. All right, or ruling and reigning, where we impact society because we're having a powerful influence and then transform the way society works. Yeah. And lives get transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. And the ruling and reigning of King Jesus comes upon an entire community. Yeah. Amen. Even those who are not saved can be ruled over by King Jesus. Because you're praying blessing on the entire community. So the entire community, even those that don't yet know him, get blessed. Because the Lord loves the world.
Yes.
Amen. And he's not just into scaring them or frightening them into becoming Christians. His main way is to love them.
Amen.
Thanks, Elizabeth. She always agrees with my preaching. She's a good girl. The Lord's word endures forever, and it was the eternal word that was preached to you. That last little bit, the Lord spoke to me this morning and said, some of you, just listen to that little bit, because you've given up a bit, or even totally, actually, on things that God has promised you. You need to be reminded that it was the eternal word. All right? And God will not let it go. Maybe it's not working out how you expected it. But God will not let it go.
Right.
Maybe you didn't go in the direction you thought you were going to go in, but God will not let you go. Maybe you deliberately went off in the wrong direction, but God will not let you go.
Come on.
Pete was sharing a great thing with me last night. He said, being guided by God is like having a divine sat-nav. All right, and you're following God. You've got he's got a destination for you, and you're following it. And, you know, you follow the voice of God at the next a junction, turn right, or whatever it says, turn left, and then you ignore the godly voice, the divine spiritual voice in your ear, and after a little while you get, at the next opportunity, turn around. And because we can be stubborn and proud, you know, occasionally we don't. Anybody ever experienced that?
Yes.
You heard the voice of God and you don't quite do what it's saying, like you do the opposite, because it looks nicer, or perhaps you're just bloody minded. And so you carry on, and then you get another chance from the sat-nav, and it says, at the next opportunity, turn round. And God is like a sat-nav. He doesn't get cross. He remains perfectly calm. But whether he has those strange gaps in the sentences or not, I don't think that's quite so true. And if you keep going, up on the top of the screen will come a little word, recalculating. Because you will still get to your destination. You may have driven through a field to get there, but you will get there. You may have been through a bog, or you may have been through some dark places, but the Lord will get you to your destination.
Yes.
And if you listen to him, it will be a much better journey.
Yes.
All right, that's the second stone. The word is eternal. It endures forever. Stone number three, John 16, verses 23 to 24. Again, this is from the truth. At that time, you will no longer question me about anything. I tell you the truth. You will speak directly to the Father, and he will give you whatever you ask for in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything using the authority of my name, the authority I have given you. But now, when you ask in this way, you will receive, and this will give you great joy. Remember, this is in the context of me saying to the Lord, is this the building? Are we in the right place? Where are we going? And he gives me this scripture. The authority we have is without limit.
That's right.
Look at that there. When it says in my name, in most editions, most Bibles, that's what it means, with my authority.
That's right.
Some time ago, quite a long time ago, Britain went to war in the Falklands. Mm. Yeah. The Prime Minister was Margaret Thatcher in 1982, and Argentina attacked the Falkland Isles, or they called it the Malvinas, and they thought that the UK would do nothing about it. I'm not making a political point here, I'm making a spiritual point. And what happened was that the Prime Minister, Margaret Thatcher, thought, I'm not having that. That's undermining my authority. They can't have those islands. It is British sovereign territory. And so she commanded the Army, the Air Force and the Navy to work together to go and reintake those islands. And so they did. They retook the islands and many people died retaking the islands. Whatever political side you come down on, I'm not at all interested in the morning. At the moment, I mean, not in the morning. But the point is, she spoke and it happened. If Margaret Thatcher today got up and said, let's go and attack the Falkland Islands, or let's go and attack somewhere else that's being, you know, taken as British sovereign territory, nobody will do what she says. Because she no longer has a position of authority. Okay? And that is what you have. But unlike Margaret Thatcher, your term of office will never come to an end, or at least you won't get backstabbed towards the end of your term of office, or whatever it is. Your term of office is eternal. You will always have this position of authority, and so you can command the task force to go and retake the sovereign territory, except that our sovereign territory belongs to King Jesus, and the enemy is no longer having our territory, and so we are releasing the task forces to go and retake it, and we're part of it. And do you know what? When we pray, it will happen, because we are the prime ministers in the spirit. In fact, we're a little bit up on that. We're kings under the King of Kings. Even prime ministers must bow to the word of God. Amen. Whether they believe in God or not, they are still under God. Hallelujah. And he will still get things to his destination. So you have this incredible authority, not because you are special, but because of the position God has placed you in. Margaret Thatcher, I know that she's not sort of fully mentally healthy these days, but in that one sense, she is no different to what she is now to what she was then. She's the same woman, she has the same name, but she has no authority because her position has been removed. Yes? But your position will never be removed. You will always have authority. You can't be taken out of position. The enemy cannot take you out. You will always have the position of authority because you are sat in heavenly places. That is the position you're in. You're on the throne. And when you speak, anything in the spiritual realm that doesn't belong to King Jesus has got to bow down. Occasionally you might meet a few rebellious oiks that try to tell you they can't, but it's rubbish. They've got to do what you say. Hallelujah. Some of the men are trying to imagine themselves as Margaret Thatcher. I don't recommend that as a good picture. Some of you would not look good in a blue skirt. Or any skirt, really.
It's not a skirt.
Oh, sorry.
Eileen! She muttered the Scottish word for that that item of apparel that looks remarkably similar to the word I just mentioned. I wouldn't like to associate them too closely because there's a Scottish person on the front row. That's not a skirt. That is merely a tartan, pleated, male, macho thing. You can tell it's not a skirt because it has pretty colours and check patterns. If it was a skirt, it would be more plain and maybe flowers. You can also tell when a kilt's not a skirt because you wear the handbag at the front. Oh, Brenda! No! I'll move on, yes. You can also tell it's a man because they don't wear stockings, they wear manly long socks. Well, yeah. Big boots and a dagger in case anybody challenges you that it's a skirt. Forgive me, Shona. And forgive me, every Scottish person listening. I blame Michael McIntyre. Anyway... If you don't know that sketch, it's hilarious. Anyway, at that time, you will no longer question me about anything. I tell you the truth. You will speak directly to the Father, and he will give you whatever you ask for in my name.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Who wants to step into this?
Come on.
Because so many Christians are undermined by a little whisper that goes on in their head that says, you did this, 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 you did this. And you say, oh, I can't do that. It doesn't matter. You are sat in heavenly places.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And the devil can't get you out of it.
Good.
Neither can you. This is perhaps more important. You are sat there on the heavenly throne. You command, it shall be done. So send out those task force prayers to retake the sovereign territory that belongs to the King Jesus. All those people that need to be saved, healed and restored. Ooh, come on. Excited? Let's start using the authority then. But the authority is not a feeling. It's just knowing. Really? I've got that? Yep, you've got that. I'm not sure how Margaret Thatcher felt when she was Prime Minister, but I presume she didn't feel much different to when she wasn't. She was still the same person. Even though she was known as the Iron Lady, there was probably fear and trepidation on many occasions when she sort of had to step into situations and use her authority. She was just a person, but she knew she was Prime Minister. She knew she had authority. Some people say she went beyond her authority, but that's another story. Take her as an example of someone that knew her position and used it. And then use your position. Otherwise it's being wasted. And you're wasting what Jesus has won for you through that sacrifice. Right, that's three stones. Don't think we're going to get to the next bit today. All right, stone four. Oh, this is a good one. Remember, this is... I don't recommend doing this, by the way. This random scripture thing. It's kind of like lottery Bible. I don't recommend it, just very occasionally. That God has used, spoken to me like this for years, and it's very weird, but I don't recommend it. Jeremiah 33, verse 6. I will bring great health and healing to this city. I will heal the people and give them abundance of peace and truth. I mean, if you're picking out random scriptures, this is a pretty good one, isn't it? When you're praying, Lord, is this building for us? Is this part of the plan you have for us to bless this town? And then the Lord says, turn to Jeremiah 33, 36. Or actually, he didn't. He said, turn to this page and look at the fourth paragraph, because it was from the truth. I will bring great health and healing to this city. I will heal the people and give them an abundance of peace and truth. Because as we move forward and take a building, it's not so that we can just have great church, although we are going to have great church on Sunday mornings and whenever else we gather in there. And great church is when we're in the coffee room or the games room or wherever we are in that building together. You know, we are going to have awesome worship times, but not stacked seating. Because you'll be in the roof. But that's all good. But what it's also for, what it's mainly for, is so that we can have a bigger transformational effect on our town. And so when I'm seeking the Lord, is this right, Lord? Are you wanting us to go ahead? And the Lord turns around and says to me, I will bring great health and healing to this city. I will heal the people and give them abundance of peace and truth. I'm excited. Because remember, the Greek word for salvation, sozo, means healing as well. It's not just, oh, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. That's amazing, that's glorious. It's you are saved right now. You are living in the glory of heaven right now. Your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. So I'm getting the full package of everything from God. And you say, but there's still sickness around. That's because we're learning. We're learning how to use our authority. We're learning how to take hold of Scripture. And we're fighting against the great wealth of unbelief that we have to come up against. But we're on the winning side. And I'm not giving up. I don't know about you. When Jesus went back to Nazareth, it said he could only do a few miracles because of the unbelief. We're surrounded by unbelief. So don't be surprised that sometimes you don't see it. What do? You grab hold of the word and you push through until you see more and more miracles, and the level of faith begins to rise in a community. So you see more and more miracles and more people saved.
Yes, indeed.
Praise God.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. I get a bad back. It gives me agony. But do I give up and say I don't believe in healing? Absolutely. Of course I don't. I press on. I take hold of it. I learn the things that God teaches me through it. The times when it's like, you know, I'll grab hold of his patience. I'll grab hold of his health. I grab hold of the grace to move on. Hallelujah. And it never, ever, ever has hurted when I'm preaching. That's why I can jump around so much. I make the most of it. I'm just going to preach 24/7.
Woo.
I'm not sure all of those were divine moons. Let's move on. 5 stones. Stone number 5. Because I'm not preaching on the stones. 1 Samuel, verse 12, verse 24. But be sure to live in the awesome fear of the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart and remember the great things he has done to you. You know what I like? It's like the 5th stone, because this is the order I got them in, the 5th stone rounds it off. And it's just awesome, isn't it, the way God speaks? So with all these things happening and with moving into exciting things and God doing stuff, remember to fear God. Yeah. That means have an awesome respect for how awesome he is. Fear is not terror. Fear is not intimidation. Fear is that incredible respect for God. There is the fear that you have is a fear. If you really have the fear of God, if we really had the fear of God on us, and we haven't, but we're seeking it, we would be afraid to sin. That's what the fear of God is. You're afraid to sin because you don't want to come against that, how awesome he is and how wonderful. Not because you think God's going to go, but you just don't want to ruin it. You don't want to do anything against how holy he is, how wonderful he is. Let's seek the fear of the Lord, because when we have the fear of the Lord upon us, that's when you start transforming, because you don't have sin in the camp. And there is sin in this camp. There is. But God's dealing with us. God's moving us on. God's changing us. Hallelujah. Don't look at somebody else and think, well, they shouldn't be doing that. What were you doing 2 years ago? Everybody's on a journey. God deals with everybody in his own time. You don't need to judge somebody else. He's doing it. Hallelujah. But be sure to live in the awesome fear of the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. That's another secret in the kingdom. Just serve him faithfully with all your heart. Remember the great things he has done for you. Hallelujah. Oh, that's awesome. Just after that bit, in 1 Samuel 12:24, it's from the, it's something that Samuel is saying, the prophet, in the old days. In the days of when Israel had got their first king, his name was King Saul, and the people had cried out for a king, and they wanted a king, because up to that point, they'd been led by prophets, and they didn't want to be led by a prophet, they wanted their own king like the other nations. And God didn't want to give them a king, because he knew that it would give them trouble. But the people cried so hard for it, he relented and said, okay, you can have a king. A bit like a parent giving in to a nagging child. And so he gave him Saul as a king. And he was the king just before David. And those of you that aren't, you know, aware of all your Bible stories, David is that king that took the 5 small stones and used one of them to slay the giant Goliath and later became king after Saul. And what happened in this next little bit, it's in chapter 13, but I think we'll have to speak on it next week now. But just as a little bit of an insight, is that they've got this word from God to be sure to live in the awesome fear of the Lord and serve faith with all your heart. Remember the great things he has done for you. And Saul forgets that. Because he's king, and because he has authority, does this sound familiar? He forgets to live in the fear of God. And he decides because he's got authority, he can just do what he wants. Because he's got authority, it'll happen. And he ends up, because he's Old Testament, losing his kingship. What we end up losing is the ability to use our authority effectively. So next week, part 2... we will look at how we keep these 5 stones secure and how we can see the fulfillment of these 5 stones as we move forward into everything that God has for us. Amen?
Amen.
So you have part 1 in the end this week. Before we finish, though, it wouldn't be right to look at verses like Let's have a look. I will bring great health and healing to this city, or I will look with favor upon you, or I will give you whatever you ask for in my name. It wouldn't be right to look at those scriptures and not just pray before we finish. Because otherwise we're reading the word and we're going away. And the Bible says doing that, if you read the word and go away and don't put it into practice, it's like looking in a mirror and forgetting what you look like.
Yeah.
In other words, it's stupid. You know, it's you have to take the word and you have to put it into practice. And now this morning God has given you five small stones, but unless this week you begin to pray those words, they won't be much use to you.
That's right.
You have to use this authority. Mm-hmm. And you might not really be sure how to, but experimenting is better than doing nothing. God's not going to get cross with you. God loves the heart.
Amen.
And you might not pray what you think is the right words. The words, they're not that important. It's the heart.
Yeah.
You know? I remember somebody praying, a new Christian praying for me once. Oh, God, make you really lucky. I just pray you be really lucky. And you guys think, oh, that's terrible, you know, that's demonic, and luck is a god of fortune, and oh, you've been cursed. No, I was blessed. I knew what was in his heart. He was saying, I want you to be blessed.
That's right. Yeah.
I received what was in his heart, not what was coming out of his mouth.
Right.
We get so caught up in words. It's what's in the heart that's important. Yeah? So when you're praying, it's not like whether you've got the words right, whether you've said the magic words, and I've got the magic phrase now. Because preachers are right annoying. They keep changing the phrases. They tell you one thing one week and they tell you another way next week. And you think, huh? No, it's just pray what's in your heart.
Yes.
It's not, oh, what is it? I mustn't say in the name of Jesus, because in the name of Jesus means I have the authority of Jesus, so I'm sat in heaven. So I don't pray in the name of Jesus. And I'm not supposed to use the word just. Pastor Paul doesn't like the word just. If your heart is in the right place and you go up to somebody and say, shoo-ba-looby-looby-doo, I just want to worship you, Lord, and I just release some lucky healing into your life, Petey. If your heart's right, it'll happen in the name of Jesus.
Just
in the name. Jesus, name of. In. It's what's in your heart. You know, if you know what you're doing is being in the name, I still say in the name of Jesus. Sometimes it just helps to remind me and the person you're praying with. But actually all it means is you're using that authority. You don't have to say be healed in the name of Jesus. You can just say, I speak health into your body right now.
Amen.
That's your authority.
Amen.
Receive your healing.
Amen.
That's it. So we need to pray for anybody that needs healing just before we finish. I think that would be good, won't we?
Amen.
And what we won't do is have the band up, because we'll turn it into I just feel we shouldn't turn it into a religious opportunity. So we won't put the band on. I could be really, really naughty. Yeah, we'll do it. We're going to put some secular music on. Because if you can't pray out in this church with a little bit of secular music praying, how are you going to do it on the street? This is a little bit of an opportunity for training. All right, we're not going to have hands up who needs prayer. What I want you to do is just turn to two or three people around you and just say, what can I pray for you? If they don't need healing, just pray blessing. All right, or if they need something else, pray for that. But we're going to put on some music that doesn't help. It must be your influence, because I can remember doing it at J27 years ago. I don't know what you can find, Dan. Led Zeppelin or something, or The Pogues or something terrible. I hope you have got something on it. That's the Holy Sanctified iPod that we use on Sundays, so I hope there's something still on it. Well, just put that on and turn and pray, because this doesn't influence us. This, the cross of Jesus Christ, is the influence in us, and we're under him as king, and it doesn't matter what's playing around us.
Exactly.
I'm not saying this is a good way to do ministry in church every Sunday. We're just making a point that you have authority in all situations.
Come on, that's right.
This is a very bad way to do ministry, except for we are learning I have authority over everything. He could play something satanic and people could get healed. Because you have authority.
Yeah.
Don't play something satanic. Because we have authority.
Yes.
There isn't anything satanic on there, I don't think, anyway. Don't Fear the Reaper. That's probably on there somewhere. Hallelujah. So are you ready?
Yes.
Yeah? You're not all prayed up and super spiritual, because you are anyway. Yeah? So you're going to go in twos or threes, pray for one another. We'll spend about 5 minutes, just release blessing. If anybody's got anything specific, pray for that. But particularly if they're in pain or they have healing, just command healing to come in their bodies and see the power of God at work, despite the fact we've not got the band doing spiritual stuff. I'm not saying you don't do that. You do that, it's great. But this is learning. This is learning. We have authority in every situation. What you got for us, Dan?
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.